Welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey. I'm your host, Agnes Knowles. Have you ever stopped to wonder how much of what you're still doing is because you actually want to do it, and how much is because you're very good at it? My guest today, Lori Eber, spent 23 years as a successful corporate litigator. She made partner, built a thriving branch office, and proved, perhaps most importantly to herself, that she could do it. And then she realized she didn't have anything left to prove. Now, I thought we were going to talk about career reinvention and healthy aging, and we certainly did, but our conversation went somewhere broader. We talked about what can happen when your career has been such a big part of your identity that you aren't quite sure who you are without it, about friendships that weren't nurtured, a marriage that needed more of her attention, and not wanting to reach her deathbed wondering if she could have billed one more hour. And now at 70, Lori is discovering that reinvention continues. This time, she's learning to adapt to a body that doesn't always want to do what it did 20 years ago. And perhaps even harder for Lori, learning that rest isn't necessarily wasted time. Lori is direct, wonderfully candid, very funny, and quite willing to admit that she's still figuring things out. This is a conversation about health and aging, yes, but I think it's even more about deciding what deserves our time now. And maybe what we no longer need to prove. Listen now to my conversation with Lori Eber. Today's guest knows what it's like to build a successful career and then have the courage to ask, is this still the life I want? Lori spent 23 years as a corporate lawyer, eventually becoming a partner and building a thriving practice. But instead of staying with what she knew, she chose to walk away and spend the next decade discovering a completely different purpose. Today, she helps women understand the realities of health, metabolism, and aging without the gimmicks, guilt, or endless diets. And now at 70, she's discovering that reinvention isn't something we do once, it's something life keeps inviting us to do. Lori Eber, welcome to the Boomer Woman's Podcast, where we are embracing the journey.
Thank you, Agnes. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, it's funny that very last sentence where we're embracing the journey is just that thing that I always say every podcast. But I'm thinking, oh my goodness, you have been embracing the journey and you continue to embrace the journey. So this is going to be ideal.
Well, thank you. I was impressed that you were talking about me when I was hearing that. I thought, who is this woman?
Oh no, I just blew it.
No,
I
you
did all this
didn't.
research into you, and that's the one line I came up
You
with.
just made me sound better than I think I am. You know what I mean?
Oh dear. Okay, so you said you weren't running away from law. You said you were running towards something. That struck a note with me because I've often said, I don't care what everybody knows what you're retiring from. What are you retiring to? What was pulling you?
I really did enjoy the career, and it was a lot of fun, very challenging, definitely sexism along the way, definitely a harder road. But Agnes, I went into it expecting it to be a harder road and did not get fixated. Oh, I can't believe he said that. I need to go report that to someone. I'm never going to make partner because I'm a woman. I didn't do that. I just expected it to be harder. And in retrospect, now that I've been out of it for decades, I realize my main thing was to prove to Laurie that she could bust through those doors and become a partner in a, pretty decent sized reputable law firm. And she was some important person in life, and she was smart, and she could be in there with the big boys and, hold her own. And then she could do a crazy thing like go volunteer to open a branch office when they told her it would be a failure, and with no skills or experience at all, somehow pulled it off and made it successful. Wow. So when that was done, it was kind of like, okay, do I have anything else to prove to Lori? And the answer came back, no. And I had a couple other influences as well. But I'll let you interrupt so this does not turn into one long, boring monologue for an entire hour and people are nodding off. Okay, shut up, Lori. Can we have Agnes ask a question, please?
No, but all I was going to say is the one thing that really struck me there, and I will admit surprised me, is you were trying to prove it to Lori. You weren't trying to prove it to all those fellas that you could do the job.
No, I wasn't at all. It was odd now that I think about it. So the way I decided I wanted to be a lawyer, you're going to like this, Agnes. I used to watch this television show called Perry Mason. Did you ever watch it? You did,
We
I can
didn't. No,
tell.
I know about it. I grew up in a
Okay.
small town. We didn't have TV.
Okay. Well, he won every week. I wanted to be that guy. It looked like fun. The guy would break down the witness stand. I thought, what could be more fun than this? Plus, I was raised with sort of Jewish cultural upbringing, although they told me I was a German Catholic, but that's another hour-long story. And so it was like, okay, you go and you get an undergraduate degree, Lori. That's interesting, but what professional degree are you going to get? I would suggest doctor or lawyer. Which one would you like? And I went lawyer. I don't like blood. I don't want to do medicine. So that's how I got the bug of being a lawyer. And that show made me think it would really be fun. Now, needless to say, I did nothing remotely like that ever. But that's what got me going. And I was told by a guidance counselor, a career counselor, they forced me to go to at Penn State University that I should not go this route. And what the guy said to me, meeting me once, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go to law school. He says to me, Agnes, you will never get in. I suggest you do something else. And I went, what? And I walked out. And I'm still trying to track him down, but I think he's dead.
I'm sorry. All I'm thinking is that would be like saying, I want to be a doctor. And they say, no, dear, you're going to be a nurse.
And I don't
And
know if it was sexism or what the hell it was. It was like off the wall. What? Why would you say that to any kid and disincentivize them? I had good grades. I was an A student. I
oh,
was
my goodness.
floored, but my answer to that was, you watch me. That's my personality. And you're not going to make partner in a law firm. You watch me. I just use it to amp myself up more. It was fine.
I'm going to send you a meme I created that says just about that. And I need to go back for just a second and say to the
Okay.
nurses out there, that is a calling. I am not making it sound like less than being a doctor. It was just back in the day, the men were the doctors, the women were the nurses. So I just want to clear the air there before anybody.
I have baby stuff that my mother kept, memorabilia, and I'm looking at something I wrote in like the third grade, Agnes. What do you want to be when you grow up? The traditional question, you know what I said? I said a teacher or a nurse.
I've held up two fingers, didn't I? Yeah,
That's what
that's
I said. That was the mentality, but somehow I thought I could be something different, better, I thought. I wanted the fight. I was up for the fight. I thought, I'm fairly smart, and this is what I want to do.
Well, whoever planted that seed is to be commended. That's great. Now, was there a moment or two moments that actually, you knew that you couldn't stay where you were?
Well, the way I make huge decisions like that is sort of it's an accumulative thing. It's things pile up, and meanwhile, the brain is sort of ruminating, even when I'm sleeping, I think is what's going on. So here were a couple of things that sort of coalesced. One, I was running this branch office. It was like year eight or something. I was doing a fair amount of management work, which I don't like, I know we can't wear jeans on Friday, but these are really nice jeans. Is that okay? Her perfume is giving me a headache. What can you, this kind of stuff. And also, I sort of wasn't that excited about going to work anymore. And I thought, what are you doing with your life? If you're not excited about how you're spending most of your waking hours, girl, you need to do something else. And I had told that to many associates as I had fired them if they were not good. I would say, this is not a good fit for you. You need to do something else. You're not getting the time back. Go find what you're good at or like to do. And so that was sort of a lesson I applied to myself. Okay, I'm not that excited. Well, it's so easy to stay, you know. I was at a nice point of proficiency, shall we say. I was very comfortable in the profession. I was very comfortable and enjoyed mentoring new people and stuff like that. And so it was scary to even think about leaving, and it's a cushiony thing. And you know, we have in the law something called old wood, which describes the partner who sits in the huge corner office that he has earned, puts his feet up on the table, reads a newspaper, and continues to collect a very nice salary while doing almost nothing. But I can't, I need stuff to do. Boredom is the worst enemy I have in my life. I cannot deal with that. I need to feel like I'm doing something useful. And in law, my feeling of usefulness was simply solving a problem. I was never that enamored with the law. Oh my God, the Supreme Court just handed down a big case. I need to go read it. I'm like, okay, what does it say? Give me the short version. To me, it was about solving problems. Okay, you've got a lawsuit. You want me to settle it? What's it worth? You know, tell me about it instead of, okay, I'm the lawyer. I'm going to tell you how to run this case and blah blah. It wasn't me. It was, you know, it's professions to me are lingo and figuring out how to help the people. I wasn't that impressed, and I'm still not. Yeah, I was a lawyer. I guess people are impressed by that, and I'll pull it out if I think it'll impress them, but it doesn't impress me that much. I don't know, maybe it's just because I did it. Anyway, so I got to the point where I wasn't jumping up and down to go to work anymore. So that was not a good feeling because I work very hard, and whatever I'm doing, I'm like A plus 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 about it. That's my personality. And by the way, I'm like that as a wellness coach too, which is probably not one of the qualities most people think exist in a wellness coach, but you don't lose yourself. The other big factor, Agnes, was I had gotten remarried. The first marriage was like a oopsie, 7 year oopsie. And this guy, you know, I mean, he seemed like it was worth investing time in him. And I quickly started to realize to have a real marriage, you got to invest some time. So you can't be 101% working, 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 stressing while you're not working. And develop a happy marriage. And I'm thinking of, I'm on my deathbed. What am I saying? I should have billed one more hour. Am I saying I should have touched more people? At least one, Lori, at least one, you know? And meanwhile, we go on evening walks. And every night he was saying, how much more money do you need to make before you can retire? How much more money do you need? And I never had an answer, but he kept bugging me with this. And also, he would say to me, I am not your secretary. From which I took, uh-oh, I didn't make the leap. Rule number two, time out, loving wife, switched gears. I don't switch gears well. So I thought, obviously, I can't unload the stress simply because I'm in a different place or situation. So I need to make a clean break and just do something else for the rest of my life. That was 23 years. I was 49 years old. I thought I've got a lot of years left. I don't want to practice law for that many more years. I've already kind of been there, done that with it. I want to find something else I can do, and I want to work till I drop dead because that's who I am. So that's going to be a lot of years. This concept of you retire, so like, what do? Sit down and wait to die? I don't have grandkids. I don't have a big travel bug. I don't have hobbies like I should. I don't have a bunch of girlfriends, clicky stuff. That's not me. I like to work. So my goal was to try to find something that felt purposeful. And I can't say law always felt purposeful on an individual level. You know, I was dealing with huge corporations. And yeah, you'd have a contact person, but it didn't feel like you were touching someone's life. And I wanted to do something more along those lines.
And I chuckled when you said you don't change gears well. So I guess you just totally changed lanes, if we're going to keep
Yes.
that analogy going. And it, in fact, took you 10 years to get
It
where
did.
you are
I
now.
wasn't quick. I was picky. See, when I retired, I remember sending out the email. I had absolutely no idea what I was going to do next. The only thing I knew for sure was it was not going to be nothing. And at the time, the Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton thing was blowing up. So I remember writing in the email, I know I will not be home making cookies. But I had not thought ahead because I was really involved in professionally transitioning my clients to the law firm. That was my job. And I gave them 6 months' notice. They did not believe me, Agnes. They kept saying, I would stay, I would stay. You should go part time, you should go part time. I'm like, I'm not a part timer. My version of part time would just be a pay cut, but no hour cut. So I don't want to do that. And I just kind of felt like, you know, it's time to move on and do something else.
So talk to us about that decade.
Scary, adventuresome, wonderful. First was scary. When I talk to people about career transition, and I've done some coaching with career transition, first thing I say is, I should have hired a shrink. Because the first day, boy, was I petrified, Agnes. I went through a identity crisis, shall we say. Because my whole sense of being was Lori the lawyer. And now I've dropped that mantle and I'm just Lori. And I'm like, well, who the hell is she anyway? Who is Lori? Is there someone under there? Is she interesting? Does she have any skills or talents? I have no clue.
And so what I'm interested in this process because did you try certain things and they didn't fit, or did you go down the wellness rabbit hole and it took you 10 years to find where you wanted to be?
No, I flitted around. Here's what I did. First, my husband said, I think you should take up golf. So I tried to do that. What a disaster waste of time that was, but it seemed like a good idea at the time. So I'm sitting around thinking, you know, what kind of careers are going to have good demand in the future? And I'm thinking, shit, old people. It's got to be old people. We got an aging population. There's got to be some way in there I can earn a living. Meanwhile, and this is what happens a lot, there was a personal experience that sort of led me in that direction initially, which was my dad. So my dad was living in New York, sort of near my sister. She was kind of done with him, wasn't really dealing with him anymore. I had my weekly penance call. There goes my Catholicism. Hi, Dad, how you doing? I'm depressed. I'm not doing well. So, and meanwhile, he seemed like he was getting a little cognitively weird on me, and he was isolated. And so I said, you know, I think you might need to move into some kind of care facility where you have people around and they can help you and stuff. And thank the Lord, he had a friend who was living in some kind of assisted living who he'd done a couple road trips with, so he was not adverse to the concept. So anyway, I'm trying to figure out how to place him. And the first thing that struck me is, man, our elder care system is totally fragmented, disjointed, incomprehensible. I mean, why is this so hard? And so eventually I worked myself through it. And then I thought, ah, Laurie likes to learn. I love learning. You should see my wall of certifications. My husband hates this. You don't have any more wall space. Would you stop? I'm like, no. So I went back to school. My first sense was, I do not want to be on a college campus when I'm 49 years old with 17-year-olds. This would not be a good fit. I hated it the first time around, actually, when I was 18, you know? So I decided, I found this program totally online, aging studies, certification, Coastline College right near me in Fountain Valley. So I enrolled in that. And I learned about, you know, what happens as you age, normal aging, that kind of stuff. So I thought, well, this is good anyway. I'll know what's coming down the pike, you know? So I do this program. At the same time, I decide, you know, you need to get your feet wet kind of in this aging field and kind of see what's around. And seems to me the best way to do that is volunteer, devote your time. So I'm searching online and I found Council on Aging Orange County, and they had something called an ombudsman program, which I had never heard of. And they're basically, police dogs, and they go into licensed elder care
Okay.
facilities kind of like as a free lead-in for regulatory who doesn't have enough people to do it. And you do sort of an inspection.
Was this
And
pre or post COVID?
pre, way, way
Oh,
pre,
okay.
end of 90s.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It still exists and they're back in it now. But anyway, it kind of felt like a good fit with my legal skills because that's kind of what you were being. And then if they didn't shape up as you told them to, you report them and they would actually go in and do something. So what you did actually did make a difference. So I went through this very difficult training program. I couldn't believe it. It was really long and, it's all volunteer and it's all your own time and, so they would assign certain care facilities to you, and you'd go in weekly or biweekly and do your little inspections and all that. And, Lori got good at this, and before she knew it, she had 60 facilities assigned to her. I know, that's what I do. So I'd make my rounds, and then eventually, I work my way into running, running the training program, redoing the whole training program, all that kind of stuff, and eventually paid positions of one kind or another because they did realize I had a brain. And one of the last things I did there was a nice adventure that showed me I did have other skills and talents. They were living on grant funding and they wanted some way to bring in additional money, and somebody had the idea of a continuing education program because the people who work at these facilities need CEU units to maintain licenses. So they're going to do a training program, and they kind of put me in charge of it. So I created the first class, and it was about sex.
Sex for the staff or sex for the residents?
Sex for the residents.
Okay.
I thought, what'll get them in? Sex. This will be fun for me. So I created the program, I did a PowerPoint and all that, and I found that I really enjoyed creating the curriculum and getting up there in my room with my microphone and talking to people. It was fun. I had no idea I could do that. I was scared in the courtroom because that was the judge's, purview there. Here, I'm in charge. It felt good. So I got a lot of practice at kind of public speaking and teaching and that sort of thing. I stayed there for 6 years, and meanwhile, I'm finishing up my gerontology education, and there's sort of a practicum part of it at the end, And so, for whatever reason, I end up going to this instructor's house, and we have a very lengthy conversation about my future and where I might go with this. And she's telling me a thousand things. I'm going, no, I don't want to do that. So she says, teaching. I think you should teach. I think you'd be good at this. This was totally out of left field. It never occurred to me I might want to teach. So I kind of stayed in touch. And then there came some openings in the elder freebie program that they run, which was, you didn't get paid anything and you had to create the curriculum and you had to drum up the business. But I thought, what the hell? This will be fun. So I did that for a while. And then there was an opening in the legitimate, curriculum for an adjunct teacher, and I've been there since 2006, and that was totally accidental. I just took an opportunity, and then I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, we got a new dean who was all into wellness and stuff, and so I got to create two new courses on that. So that's mainly what I teach there now. So that was one thing. I just kind of went with the swinging doors. If it seemed like it was open and there was something of interest, I'd go. I decided in round two, Agnes, there was no more beating my head. If the door was closed, fine, I'll go somewhere else. So I just took a different approach. It was kind of like an adventure. And I also did time doing creative writing and getting paid for it, which I had no idea I could do. And it was really fun. And that's like a happy place in my brain I can go to when it's amenable only. I had no idea I had that skill, and I did public speaking all over the country, and I did conferences and stuff like that. And first it started kind of in the elder care realm, and then it morphed into baby boomers because I got too depressed, frankly. So I went to baby boomers, my people, and I did that for quite some time. And then I decided I don't like this lifestyle. I'm trying to be with my husband, and now I'm getting myself on the road. Writing, you know, it seems like that's not a fruitful way to earn a real living. So I did those things, and they were both good because they showed me I had other abilities and they helped me practice and develop and get some confidence. And then I was sort of paying a little more attention to my health now. The only thing I had done before I retired was exercise, and that was just so I wouldn't take someone's head off on the way home because I was so stressed out, and also to avoid some commute time. So I kind of had my exercise down, but the eating, it was like whatever I could get away with. And my eating habits were not very good for a very long time. I was a pseudo vegetarian for 14 years, Agnes. By pseudo, I mean there were no vegetables on the program, but there was pasta, pizza, desserts, because they're all vegetarian. There is just no meat, that's all. What a healthy diet. And my MO was I ate as much as I could get away with without gaining weight and without having to buy new clothing. So that was my diet. So I started to pay more attention to my diet. And the guy I married, who I'm still married to, I stayed with number two. He's a good one. We're always talking about why do some people like us actually take care of their health and why do most people not take care of their health? And furthermore, is there a way to help those people who are interested in making the change? And I thought that was a big challenge and a mystery. And I thought, let me think about it. So I go on Google, thank you, Internet, and I find this thing called wellness coaching, which I had never heard of. And there you go. That's how I found my second career. A straight path to health and wellness, right? Just like that. And yep, that's how I found it.
Oh dear. Well, I was going to ask you about, because we hear about you find your passion, but it sounds like you sort of went down this road and it sort of found you and you built it and.
Well, I can tell you that once I took a couple of courses about wellness coaching, got some certifications, I thought, this is something I'm going to be really good at. And the reason I thought that was not so much about, the technical information about nutrition and eating and all that stuff, but more because to me, it seemed like amateur psychology. Because everything that goes in your mouth, it starts in the brain. And so really what you're doing is you're figuring out how to get into that person's head and how to get healthy food to jump into their mouth instead of junk food. And it's all head stuff and it's all planning. And I was always the girl in high school. I was not one of the cliquey people. I was kind of an outsider and I would float. But when they had questions, issues, they would come to me, and I was always mystified. Why are you coming to me? I barely know you. But they would, and I'd give them really good advice, and they'd ignore it and come back the next week. But I thought for some reason, people seemed to have some trust and confidence in my advice. So this will be perfect. And who doesn't like to sit there and talk and, try to help people and get paid for it? It's like, what's not to like about this? So it just felt very much like a perfect fit. And my really health is really kind of my religion. It really is. I think it is the real pandemic. I think it is so sad that at this point in the United States, 65% of the people are overweight or obese because when we were kids, that was not the case. So it's not a willpower issue at all. It is an environment issue. It is that it's more convenient to eat the garbagey food. Portions are ridiculous. People aren't eating the God-made food. They're eating junk. And these options weren't even available when I was a kid. And I just think it's sad that this is the way it's gone. And I go, to sit outside in the sun and read my book. And I look at all the people who pass by and I'm just saddened by what they've, how they've let their bodies just kind of fall apart and not take care of it. I mean, health is the thing that matters the most in life. There is no doubt. You cannot buy it back. When you're in that hospital bed, everything else you were so stressed about, you don't care. You just want to live. So why don't we spend more time and attention trying to get to a better place and also just feel better every day? So if I can help someone do that, I can change their life. That's like a pretty big deal to me.
I'm going to play devil's advocate for just a moment because I understand there's all sorts of people out there who, they retire and it's like, whew, and perhaps they're comfortable financially, so they, yeah, like they have the time and the energy to eat and do what they want to do, and
Yeah, I see
the,
that a lot. That's when
yeah.
people get overweight and get food and alcohol focused.
Yeah, but if somebody is actually, and I hear some of my friends now, as we're all in our 70s, saying, they've always eaten and moved a certain way, and they're still doing the same thing. They haven't really slacked off.
And it
Something's
ain't
changed.
working.
Yeah,
The body changes.
is that physiology?
Yep. Hormonal and everything else. Here, look, here's how the human body is designed. It peaks to have kids. It's a childbearing mechanism. After childbearing ages, like mid-30s, it starts going downhill, but it goes downhill at a very slow pace. You can hardly tell. It's an incline. And everything is different, and particularly menopause is a big push in the decline. But everything is changing. Look, everything is stiffer, tighter, more prone to get injured, moving slower. That's the human body. That's the design of it. And so if you keep doing the same thing instead of adapting to your adapting body, you're not going to be the same person. You have to keep changing and bobbing and weaving, and every day is a challenge. And I think, aging is a big challenge. Way harder than puberty, because it's like the same kind of thing with no upside at the end, think about it. So, the rules have changed, but nobody makes an announcement. And you're right, people get very frustrated. I'm doing the same thing and it's not working. And I get a lot of clients who say that, and it's because your body is not the same body.
So what adaptations need to be made? We go into
People need
menopause.
to keep moving. Very, very important. Don't sit around because you have arthritis and it hurts. You got to do strength training because your muscle mass is going away. By age 80, half of it's gone if you don't replace it. Then you're weak. Then you have a slower metabolism. Then you're more likely to fall and end up in a care facility. You got to do strength training. You got to keep moving, but you got to do different things. My problem is I keep trying to do the 20-year-old things in the gym, and now I have two injured shoulders and an injured quad muscle as a result of my stupidity. But you got to keep moving. Doing nothing is not the answer, even if it hurts, even if it feels better. Body's default, the way it's designed, movement, movement, movement. So we set the world up for sitting. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. And a lot of the eating thing is people are just eating way more food than their body needs, especially a sedentary body. We are not burning that many calories, but we're eating incredible amounts of food. For example, there are real problems with restaurant dining, and it's not a ding, and it's not to say you shouldn't do restaurant dining because that's how we socialize. But you order an entree, it is three portions, three. And you tell yourself you won't eat it all, but you know what? Eh, just once. Everyone else is eating theirs. Nobody's picking up the plates. You end up eating way more food than you need. And the other thing with restaurant dining is they want it to be yummy because they are in customer satisfaction, not health. They want you to come back. They know very well how we make food yummy. It's called butter, oil, sugar, salt to the max. So even if you get down to your one-third portion, it still has way more calories than anything anyone would ever make at home because you would notice that you put six pats of butter in there. So those kinds of things are making it very challenging to stay healthy. Plus just the availability of food everywhere. I mean, it used to be if you'd go in the grocery store, we didn't have six aisles of junk food like we do now. We had fresh produce, we had meat, we had dairy products, we didn't have much else. Canned vegetables, those were yummy. But look at it now. And then there's seasonal stuff, and it's everywhere. And it's tempting, and there's marketing, advertising. And we eat now for many, many reasons having absolutely nothing to do with hunger. Every emotion it works for. Stress is the one people think about, but boredom is a big one, particularly as you get older or you're at home a lot. Kitchen's always open. I'm bored. Let me get up. Oh, have a couple of these, a couple of those, You had a hard day. You just put the kids down. It's my only me time. There's no accountability because nobody's watching me. It works for everything momentarily. And so, what I try to focus on with my clients, Agnes, is not so much you need more willpower. You got to stay focused. No, don't do that to yourself. Do it the lazy way. The lazy way is the way we're designed to work, and you just need to feed into that. And the lazy way is you just create a food environment that makes it really hard to be bad because you don't have the food in the house. Because the answer is in the house, in the mouth. Why did you buy those chips and then give yourself a struggle that you know you're going to lose? Just don't go down the aisle and look at them. So I'm all about make the food environment as healthy as you can. At least that part when you're home, yeah, you can go get junk food, but it's a trip. You're too lazy. You're probably not going to do it. Use it to your advantage.
I'm trying to think. 20 years ago, a little bit more than that, probably, I was actually doing grocery store tours for a local company. And it used to be fairly easy if you stay on the perimeter.
Yes.
That's where all sort of the fresher, more natural food is. But I
Yes.
notice now in some of those exact stores that I used to do tours in, I have to go through the muffins, the pies, and the cookies to get to the produce.
Yep. Whole Foods, a great example. First thing you approach is the bakery section. Trader Joe's, I tell people you need to wear a baseball cap because they got chocolate at eye level everywhere, including the freezer section. Wear a
Oh my.
baseball cap and look down. That's your only safety net there.
So is there any way to other than wearing a baseball cap? Like what do you tell your clients?
Well, one solution that actually came in, you mentioned COVID, is do it online. Impulse buy is gone. Do it online, get it delivered, or go pick it up. Don't even go in the darn store. Don't go in there hungry. Go in there
Yeah.
with a list. Only go in certain aisles. Don't be going in the chip aisle. I told you I'm a type A, so I provide support and accountability because that's what people need when they're making behavior change in between our sessions. So it's fairly common that a client will be in the grocery store looking at something saying, ah, should I buy this or not? They will text me a picture. I'll look at the nutrition label and I'll say, why are you looking for less, slightly less junky junk food? Get out of the aisle. No, you should not buy it because that's what you do to you justify it to yourself. And it
Yeah,
doesn't mean you can never have a treat, but we're way overboard with this stuff. There's way too much of it. And a lot of it's boredom. A lot of people snack after dinner. Now think about after dinner. Are they hungry? No. They just had the biggest meal of the day. They're probably going to bed in 2 or 3 hours, and now they're going to eat more food. Why? Obviously not they're hungry. Just habitual. And the movie theaters have definitely ingrained that one. If you're watching, you must be munching.
Well, it's funny because I remember when I was teaching wellness myself, is my favorite time to go grocery shopping because I had the family, so I had to do these big shops. But
Yes.
it was right after exercise class
Yes.
because I was feeling really holier than thou. I've just done this, so I'm not going to buy that, and I'm not going to buy
I don't
that.
want to, undermine all my hard efforts. Yeah, but some people, this is why I say you got to get into their head because some people are very hungry after exercise and it'd be the worst place for them to go.
Okay, well.
Everybody's different, and that's what I realize the more I coach people. Everyone's different. Don't make assumptions, ask them. So I do a lot of brainstorming about techniques. A lot of what I teach is just a technique. For example, I was talking about the restaurant. So I give them a couple of tips like you got to look at the menu online before you go there. We have that ability to do that now.
Yeah,
And you
I do
go
that.
in and look, it is not take it or leave it. This is a good negotiating point. I can be a demanding diner because their goal is to get me to come back. So they want to please me. So what kind of changes can I reasonably ask for given what the menu is? And some easy swaps that I use all the time that I offer to clients is, this comes with risotto. You know what? Risotto is really, really good. And it's really, really buttery. And I'm going to have a hell of an argument with myself not finishing it all. But you know what? I can make that argument non-existent. Could you please sub some veggies for the risotto? If I never see it, I'm not in the danger zone. Another possibility, may I have my to-go box when you bring the entree? You do not have it in your sights. This is a good thing. You will actually savor and enjoy your food a lot more. Another big tip is for your body to function the way it's supposed to, you need 20 minutes with your eating. I have people setting timers because people eat way too fast and they overeat and don't even enjoy it and don't know they overate. If you expend in the 20 minutes, you will enjoy it more. You can put the fork down. It does not run away. I've never seen it do that once. But more importantly, your satiation hormone will kick in and say, Agnes, you're 80% full. You can stop eating and you will feel satisfied. Those kinds of things can make a big difference. And a lot of it is planning, bringing your own food. I give them a free cooler and I say, you never have an excuse now. I bring my breakfast and lunch to work every single day. If they have bagels or donuts, I'm not tempted at all. I already had a good breakfast. Other people are like, oh, free food. When are the bagels showing up, you know? Or if it's really something tempting because people left something in the kitchen that they didn't want to get fat on, they want us to eat and get fat. If it's really tempting, just don't go in the kitchen for a while, it'll disappear. Make it easy for yourself. It can be easier.
Well, I mentioned before we clicked record that I was house sitting. And the other easy thing I'm doing right now is I'm full. I want to get rid of this that's left. I just chop, chop, chop. I go feed it to the chickens and they think I'm just fabulous. This house has chickens.
That's good.
Okay. We mentioned metabolism. You just use that H hormone word. Talk to us about like that. We know hormones. Some hormones dwindle, things change, the whole big picture changes. Can you go there for just a moment? Because that seems to be the going truth, is a lot of this is hormonal, like our weight gain and stuff like that.
Well, a lot of it's hormonal, but a lot of it, men experience it too. What they miss is the peaks and valleys of estrogen climbing and declining quickly. They experience the same thing. And it's just that your hormones change, certain hormones recede, others come into play more, and your brain and your body are talking to each other all the time. And the hormones are whipping around. And the worst thing you can do is stay in the fight and flight syndrome where you got cortisol running and all kinds of other things. The other thing to understand about affecting these hormones is that things like sleep and stress that we often do not associate with weight gain are very, very much tied to weight gain. Because one of the things that happens when you sleep is your hunger hormones get reset properly. And cortisol stops running. If you're sleep deprived, like I am today, because I was having pain in the middle of the night that didn't want to go away, you're going to be hungrier. Cortisol's running. You're going to biologically want to eat junkier food. And you're probably going to have your food processed as fat instead of being burned, burned, burned the way it should. So something like sleep can really affect it. Plus, you feel tired and you think you need more energy. You really need a nap. So instead, you end up eating more. And you just feel a little bit off and you want to fix it kind of thing. And stress is a huge factor. And for many of my clients, it's the main factor. Because, first of all, it can prevent you from having the bandwidth to stay focused on your health. But again, we're talking about it produces hormones. And those hormones are trying to optimize yourself when, there's somebody about to cut in on your lane on the freeway and is about to hit your car, and you feel that adrenaline rush. Well, what's happening is all the blood is going to your extremities to fight, and things like, digestion, low priority. more likely to end up not processing the food and storing it as fat. The other things that really get a lot of women is that they think they can starve themselves skinnier, that that's always going to be the answer. If they're overweight, eat fewer calories. The fewer you eat, the quicker you're going to lose weight. It doesn't work that way. You know why? The body has a survival mechanism and it wants you to survive. So if you're starving it, you know what it does? It slows down the processing speed so you can, it's like you're in hibernation, basically. And people don't realize that. They think less calories is always better. And Agnes, I've had at least a half a dozen women who've come to me. They're at least 100 pounds overweight and they eat far less food than Lori does. And I am very small. I'm 5'3" and I don't even weigh 100 pounds. I'm teeny. And I eat more food than they do, I swear. Or this other pattern. You don't eat all day and then you gorge at night because you're starving. Your body doesn't like that. I post daily silly videos on social media. You know, they're like 45 seconds. I said, here's a tip. Here's what your body, the key to your body, be boring. Your body likes boring. It likes boring with sleep. It likes boring with meal times. It likes boring with everything. It wants to know what's coming. If you throw it curveballs, it goes into survival mode. And that's what a lot of women do when they're trying to lose weight. They just eat less. Well, that doesn't work. Plus, it's a miserable life. Who wants to go through life hungry, starving? I can't miss breakfast or I'm going to die. I mean, you need the fuel to come in. It's like I tell them, you know, do you get in your car without thinking about whether it has gas? You think it's going to run on fumes? So that's what you're doing when you don't eat till 3 o'clock. So a lot of it is some misconceptions and just have to understand an aged body does not function like a young body. I would go to the gym. I was a big gym rat. I had nice muscles. I looked stellar. At one point, I was even worried I was looking too muscular. And I could develop muscle easily, and I could heft around the weights, and I could sit, you know, on some weight machine. And a guy would vacate it, and my biggest joy in life was if I could put it in the higher weight category. I didn't go track him down, but I went, ha, you're good, girl. And then I started hurting myself. Why? Because my body couldn't take it anymore. So you got to be sensible and just understand it is not the same body. And I'm struggling right now. You say you have to reinvent yourself. I'm reinventing myself physically in a big way. I'm trying to figure out what is it I can do exactly that gets me to where I want to be, but doesn't go over the limit and punish me for 6 months with an injury that hurts like hell. And I've been active, and the answer is no, I can't sit around. No, I can't take time off. I can't do that. I just got to figure out how to adapt to my body, and I'm really struggling with that. The food part, it's to me, it was like you just can't get away with the stuff you used to. I have a wicked, you know, sweet tooth, but I can't indulge that because that's coming right on me, and I just can't go there. I know that. So, you know, what I found is, you know, cotton candy, grapes, those are a godsend. They're real. They taste as sweet as any candy I've ever had. A good apple, that's a sweet tooth satisfier. You find other things.
I actually still lead an exercise class for older women, and I know if somebody comes in and goes like, "Oh, you know, I was in the garden and I've hurt my shoulders," and we do some strength work, and
Yes.
depending on what they pick up, and I mean, I'm not talking big weights, but I will often say, "Yeah, okay, not this week, like not with those bigger weights. Just take
Yeah,
it down, you know, let yourself heal,
exactly.
you know, because it
Yep.
does sometimes take longer to heal than it did when
Oh,
we were 30."
sometimes it takes an incredible amount of time to heal. It's just discouraging. I mean, something that, you know, you used to get an injury and a week later you'd be better. That's not the way an aging body process. It's just slower. You just have to deal with it. It is adapting. And the other thing that's important for women in their health in terms of eating is protein. A lot of women undereat protein, and that's a prescription for being hungry, for one thing. And also, you need the protein, especially as you get older. There's a lot of decent research showing as you get older, you actually need more protein because you don't process it as well. My bottom line is, look, I don't care if I set the age record for longevity or I die tomorrow. That's not my goal. I want to live in a way that I get up every day, I feel good, I'm energetic. I feel like, and this is really important to everyone as they get older, I think, I feel like I did something that was purposeful with my time. Because I don't have 100 years left. I know it. So I don't want to waste time or think I just totally blew the day. And so I'm also struggling with, so where does relaxation fit into this? Because my mindset is that is considered a waste of time. But that's another thing about an aging body you learn. It needs some recovery, rejuvenation. You have to give it that grace. You just can't go every day, all day hard. That's not going to work. So I'm trying to learn how to relax at an extremely old age, and it ain't easy.
Well, you're younger than me, so you ain't that old yet, trust me.
Okay, thank you for that.
Now, we can't go anywhere. We can't go to YouTube. We can't even go to Google without somebody giving us advice for our older bodies. What health advice out there that we see that's pretty mainstream makes you cringe?
Almost everything, every quick fix, every one magic product, superfoods, it's all BS. Here's the deal. You already know what the real answer is. You eat food that God put on the earth for us to eat. By and large, that is where you eat. Things that grew in the ground, on a tree, it walked, it swam. Those are good things for you. Obviously, things that don't need a nutrition label are actually probably the healthiest if you think about it. And you want to eat something. I'm a big proponent of the Mediterranean diet because I think it's the healthiest. It encompasses all the good, healthy food groups, but it allows you to be a little bad. And I tell that to people too. Don't try to be a saint about this. It's not necessary. Intentionally, though, be a little bad. Yes, you can go get some ice cream once in a while. You're not going to die. But if you're the person like me who knows I cannot live happily with it in my house because it will jump in my mouth, I will find an excuse. You just don't bring it in. But once in a while, yes, you go to that creamery. You do. But you do it in moderation. You do it outside of the house. There's nothing you bring home. That's an easier way to do it. But food is one of the most enjoyable things in life. It truly is. It's the last thing we give up before we die. That should mean something. And it needs to stay in that category. It shouldn't be something we develop a fear about, or it's our only thing in life is eating. That's not a balanced life either. It shouldn't be your sole goal for the day. Where are we eating dinner? Or you're eating your way through every vacation. It's like this restaurant. Oh, what do I order here? This kind of stuff.
Briefly
If
touch on the
it
difference
sounds too good to be true, it is too good to be true. I guess that would be a good
be
answer to your question, Agnes.
and that applies to almost everything out there. I think if it's too good to be
Yes,
true, it's
there's so much crazy stuff. And now we have the GLP-1 injectables, which, by the way, are killing my business, which I'm saying I'm reinventing myself again because that was my stock and trade was weight loss.
What are GLP whatevers?
The injectable weight loss medications that everybody is on, trust me.
Except, and I can't think of the names, but isn't that true that it once on, you stay on for life? You can't stop, or else your weight will balloon.
Well, that's true unless you actually change your habits. And the whole point of those is you don't have to change your habits. So we'll see what happens. But some doctors are actually talking about using maintenance doses. And how is it any different from your high blood pressure or cholesterol medication? Yeah, you're going to be on it the rest of your life. Nobody knows the implications. And I just read an article today about how it interferes with certain medications, and they don't even know to what extent. Like your contraceptives may not work very well. Oops, that's a problem.
Unfortunately, our audience are boomer women.
I know, but that was an easy one because
Oh
that's
yeah,
something
no,
that.
we've all got, or many of us have daughters, so that's good.
Yes.
While we're on this whole subject, talk to us about the difference between being lean and being Thin.
Well, thin is unhealthy, lean is healthy. Lean to me encompasses muscle. You look trim, but you're muscular. You got some heft to you. You can be skinny fat, I'm sure your audience has heard that a lot, and you can look really good on the outside, but if you looked on the inside, you would be underwhelmed because you can look that way without any muscle just by dieting. And that's not healthy, and it's not a healthy goal. And to be as skinny as possible is not a healthy goal. But most
And I.
people are on the other end, although some older people, they lapse into, I don't want to cook for one person. They don't eat very much. The appetite signals are not as strong as they used to be. The same with the thirst signals. And sometimes, their only real eating is when they eat out, using a coupon with their girlfriends. But it's important to eat regular meals, important to have your healthy food taste really good. But look, there are millions of convenient ways to do it. I'm not a big cook person. I don't do that. It's not my thing. But I get healthy food in my mouth. And that's what I tell my clients. That is your only goal. You can take any convenience you want. Places like Sprouts, Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, they have prepared healthy versions of food already done. All you have to do is use your microwave. They have meals to go. There's all kinds of stuff, which makes it easier. And even a simple thing, I love roasting vegetables. I don't have a problem with doing that. You can do a whole cookie sheet at a time, but I'm not going to cut up the vegetables. So you know what? I pay someone at the store to pre-cut them for me. It's okay because the end product is what I'm looking for.
It's funny that you talk about roast vegetables because I love roast vegetables. But I've got to be careful because to me, the ones that are left on the pan, or even if you put them in the fridge, it's like that's my candy.
That's fine. You can eat as many as you want. Yeah, you can use them for like 4 days. They're still good. I agree.
they
When you
don't last
roast
4
them, it
days.
caramelizes the sugars. They taste wonderful. And it's the same kind of thing happens with nuts. You can buy, unprocessed nuts, just, flip them around in a hot pan, and they taste much, much better. You roasted them yourself without the grease and the butter and the salt. So
Yeah,
there
for
are
sure.
ways to make your food taste good and it's worth it. And but you got to eat healthy stuff. It's got to taste good. Spices are wonderful, use them.
I'm just looking at the clock here. If there was one or two pieces that are the most important for women over 60, what would you say those are?
I would say keep moving. Keep socially active and have a purpose every day. Your connection with people is huge. We see a lot of studies about that. Isolated people, when they get older, they do not do well. We need the people contact. And frankly, I have found I lost a lot of that because I was so career driven. It's like, shit, I don't have any friends now. Oops. And so I'm trying to reconnect with people I knew a long time ago and more with my family that's always been not particularly close and geographically distant, just so I feel connection with people. Because what I'm thinking is ultimately, your time on earth, did I touch anybody at all, is what it comes down to. And if your answer is one person, you did better than a lot of people, And so focus on things like that. And I try to just be kind and try to do something small, kind for maybe somebody I don't even know every day. Why not? It doesn't hurt. It makes a difference. Now, here's one thing I definitely noticed. When I was a lawyer, and one of the other reasons I kind of was tired of it, I was pretty hard ass mean because I had to be. First of all, I was a litigator. So, you're hired to be a tiger, which was my nickname in the firm, by the way. But also, you're a girl, you look little. They try to take advantage. So with me, you do it once and you got the picture. So I was pretty much being a mean person. And one of the things that happened when I retired is I thought, I wonder if there's some kindness under here. That might be nice. I also grew up in Manhattan where you got to be tough. So I already had kind of that litigator training under my belt, I believed. So I just try to be kinder, nicer, compliment a person. Why not? It doesn't hurt me, especially a person with a lowly job who's actually doing the job, because people don't pay attention to people like that. Or you just, you hold a door for someone instead of slamming it in their face or something like that. I see all these people in the lobby, they look totally lost. Can I help you? Can I hold the door for you? It's nothing, but that's the way I would like to live the rest of my years, just with some little acts of kindness and supporting people who I love and care about and getting support when I need it. It's the people connection is huge.
At the end of the day, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, but at the end of the day, back when you were a litigator, you'd come home and have some thoughts about your day. Now you come home having been nice to people, maybe given somebody some advice, told somebody else they're doing a good job, let somebody in traffic. What's the difference between the end of the day between those two people?
Very different. The end of the day lawyer never calmed down even. Yes, it was the end of my day, but it was not the end of my day in my head. I'm already planning the next day and in the middle of the night as well. Why not? 2 in the morning, And now it's like a download. I love my time with my husband, and if I had a day where it didn't go wonderfully well, I come home and I say, I didn't have a great day, but the best part is right here, right now. And I try to just enjoy it. And I try to, I enjoy just exchanging how was your day? How was your day? The good and bad. And just, enjoying that relationship, enjoying dinner, which I realize is a big deal. And, trying to figure out anything I need to change, work on, adjust to. It's more thoughtful, it's more purposeful. It's more examine my life and figure out, am I using my time well? Because I know it's limited. And I feel like, a little bit of pressure to use it well and not waste it and not feel sorry for myself and not waste time worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. And am I going to get this disease or that disease? And I got this wrong with me, and then I'm gonna look back in 10 years and say, why did I worry about that? That was nothing. Now I got all this other stuff to deal with. And the thing I know about worry, which is very hard to stop, is that we usually worry about the wrong things, and something out of the blue comes and bites us. It is a total waste of time, but it's very hard not to do it because that's our programming.
I think Mark Twain said something along the lines of, I have worried about many, many things over the years, most of which never happened.
Yes, we do
So,
that. And what a waste of time that is. How sad, And to just, the other thing, I'm trying to just give myself a little more grace. I don't need to pretend I'm really good at something that I'm bad at. I just say, if I didn't have GPS, forget it. I'd never figure out how to do it. I'm trying to fake my way through things. I am who I am. You like me, you don't. I'm too direct for you. Oh, well. Not going to be a different person. And if that's not the kind of coach you want, then go to somebody else. But a lot of people like me because I'm a kind of a combination between someone they know damn well is going to crack the whip, but they also know I'm kind and empathetic because I am, because I say controlling this jaw muscle, hardest thing to do in today's society. Very ironic, but it truly is. It is the hardest thing to do. And logically, why is it so hard? Nobody's jamming food in your mouth. Well, you'd be surprised. It's hard.
Okay, you just mentioned your clients. You used to be a litigator. Have you moved past cross-examination when
Oh
they
yeah.
have? Okay.
I don't do that unless I need to. I had an incident with my sister who's disabled, and I had a long 2 month experience dealing with the New York State Disability Protection entity that they set up, including a court. And I was trying to get humane care for my sister, and that kind of isn't their MO. Their MO is prolonging life. And believe me, I pulled out those litigator skills, no problem. I practically wrote a legal brief. So I
When
could go right back into it and I could be insistent, and I got a result that very few people get because I was so determined and I did have those skills and I used them and I let them know. I was dealing with a pack of lawyers who had a different idea than I did, and to me, they were dead wrong. And I was just going to prove it to them eventually. And oh, this never happens. Well, it happened. So they're still there. I can still be mean, not a problem. And the irony is, Agnes, sometimes people won't research me well and they won't know. I used to be a lawyer and I'm doing, the freebie intro or something. And then they go, as soon as they find out, they go, oh yeah, I knew that. That was obvious. And I'm thinking, damn, I'm not hiding that well. Still comes out, apparently. That's just my personality.
Old habits die hard.
Yes.
What haven't we talked about, or is there anything we haven't talked about that you want mid-age women to think about?
Yeah, I think the point I just made about myself, give yourself a little bit of grace. Stop looking in the triple magnifying mirror for one thing. Stop comparing yourself to other people like celebrities. Stop being so body conscious. Be more health conscious. Things like that. And stay connected to people. Do not isolate yourself because you're bound and determined to stay in that home by yourself. That is not healthy. You got to get out there and do something. Find some people that you like. Stay connected. And technology can help a lot with that. I do a lot of texting and it does give me a feeling of connection. And these people are not geographically close or aren't able to travel anymore. It's a good way to keep in touch. But don't get involved in people's drama either. You're too old for that. Don't waste your time arguing with your husband. My husband and I are arguing. I say, okay, stop. We're too old. We don't have time for this. Next.
So you're
And
telling me I
there, and
did.
you should have an overflowing bucket of stuff you used to care dearly about, but now you go, you know what? In the scheme of life, I do not care. Put more and more stuff in that bucket. Put more and more stuff in that bucket.
Yay. Okay. Where do we find you on the World Wide Web?
I have a very nice website called LoriEberWellnessCoaching.com. I'm all over all the social medias. I'm pretty easy to find.
Yeah, I was quite surprised. Now, okay, you know what I did miss? And you write books.
I
Tell
do.
us
I've
about
written
your
10 books. I'm
books.
writing number 11 right now. The first one of the ones I like is How to Stay Healthy in a World Designed to Make Us Fat and Lazy. That's kind of
Yeah,
what we
that is.
spent a fair amount of time talking about. I did one about my career change too. How I Escaped Legal Practice and Got Myself a Life, I think I call it, if people are
Yeah.
interested in career change. But go on Amazon, you'll see them all there.
Well, and go on
They're
your website
all,
and see them all here.
print on demand, and yeah, they're on there too, ebooks.
40 ways to leave your lover. That would be junk food. And that's exactly what your title is. I should let the audience know that I'm not making that up. It's 40 ways
No,
to
you're
leave your
not.
lover. That would be junk food. Oh dear. Oh, boomers. I love this one. Aging beats the alternative. I had a career in elder care, and people would say, "Oh, Agnes, don't ever get old." And that's exactly what I'd say. It beats the alternative.
Yes. When I was doing elder care and boomers, I would say, here's the way I would like to live. Healthy, 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 dead. That's it. I'm going to skip the chronic illness part. I don't need to go there.
Oh
And
boy,
that
let's
is the
hope.
way healthy people die. They die quickly.
We all dream about just going to bed one night, not waking
Yep,
up. So,
not waking up. Yeah. Hopefully, if you're married, the same night it happens with your husband, right?
oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I was just I had a thought about. Oh, I actually, in my career in elder care, people, and it's usually women, would often say, I'd say, "How was your day?" And they said, "I woke up. It's crap."
Yeah.
So they would love to have just gone to sleep and not woken up. But can I ask you a personal question before we
Of
close?
course.
I browsed around your Instagram and you made a comment earlier that made me concerned about this question, but that's okay. I'm coming over to your house for lunch. First of all, what will you serve me? And more than the food, you seem to be a seasoning enthusiast. I want to know what your favorite seasonings are as much as what you're putting them on.
The sweet and spicy, gochujang sauce, stuff like that. That's what
Okay.
really gets my taste buds moving. My taste buds are not that great anymore. They're just
Yeah.
not. So I really need to go to spices to make stuff happen. And this is a bone of contention with my husband, who's very spice averse. So, for example, my salsa is some kind of hot salsa, but it's got mango in it. I like that contrast. But I am all about flavors. I have a whole two racks full of Trader Joe's wacko seasonings in my office. Trader Joe's has a lot of cool things that they come up with for spices.
Okay, and we don't have Trader Joe's in Canada.
Oh,
But
bummer. Maybe they'll
yeah.
expand. They're always expanding. Yeah, they
Oh,
have
okay.
their own proprietary stuff and it comes and goes. As soon as you like it, it's not there anymore.
Oh, okay. The only Trader Joe's thing I've got, which was a gift from an American, and I love it, is a sour apple candle.
Oh, cool.
I don't even burn it. I just keep the lid off. I keep it on my
Yep.
desk, and every once in a while, I'll just pick it up and it's like take a whiff. So.
You know, that's one of the ways I satisfy my sweet tooth, and there's actually some research done on this. I sit with a scented candle that tastes like a dessert that I can't get away with eating anymore, like hot chocolate fudge or caramel
Creme brulee.
something, you know, and it seems to work. And there was a guy who was doing some research along these lines. I actually, emailed the guy and said, do more because it's effective. You know, they do scents in department stores and stuff now. There's some science behind it.
Yeah, that's interesting because just like I said, yeah, I had to walk through now the cookies, the muffins, and the pies to get to the
Yes.
produce. I find that at a lot of bigger stores now, they put the perfume right at the door, and I'm scent sensitive, so I'm literally,
Yeah, that
shirt
wouldn't
over
work
my
for me.
face, and yeah, and I
And
hold
that
my
was
breath.
kind of one of the tricks that the elder care facilities, the assisted living, started using. They'd have a microwave with some cookies heating up right by the door. So when you walked in, it wouldn't smell like urine, it would smell like chocolate chip cookies. That was smart, I thought.
When we bought our first house, when I was married, we walked in the door looking at this lovely little house, and she had a roast in the oven.
Yep.
Was like, okay,
Makes
yeah,
a
we gotta buy this
difference.
house. Yeah, it really does.
You've been an absolute privilege to talk to. You're very fun and very smart, and I had a wonderful time with you, Agnes.
Thank you. And I'm just about to start my little outro here. And I want to assure our listeners that you've got this look on your face when you've got such a good sense of humor that this is great. Okay. So your website link is in the show notes. All of your links, all social media, books, everything will be on your page at our website.
Thank you.
Listeners, I'm always interested in hearing from you. Has your body surprised you as you've gotten older? Isn't that a leading question? Or have you reinvented yourself after 50 or 60? Share your experience in the comments. I read every one, and your story might encourage another woman who's wondering what comes next. If this conversation reminded you of a friend who's trying to figure out her next chapter, who's wondering why her body suddenly seems to have changed overnight, I hope you'll share this episode with her. Sometimes the right conversation arrives at exactly the right time. If you enjoy thoughtful conversations about creating your next chapter after 60, I'd love to have you join us. Follow the Boomer Woman's podcast so you never miss an episode as we continue embracing our journey together. If you'd like to listen early, I do release each episode on Substack on Wednesday evening before it goes live everywhere else. I talk with my hands. I'm sorry, Laurie. Laurie Ebert, thank you for being my guest today. And thank you for reminding us, first of all, that reinvention doesn't have an expiry date. And then also that, we just need to keep the knowledge doors open about our bodies as they age. They may try to let us down, but we still hopefully are usually in control. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great rest of week.